Well, today's message is going to be a little different than normal because today is our family service, as we've been talking about that. And my goal is to kind of share a message that speaks to all ages, to everybody that's here. And so I've added kind of some fun illustrations. And I know a lot of times I use illustration stuff, but we're going to pull out the old illusion box that has fun illusions in it that I used to do with my youth and when I'd speak at camps and different things. And so we're going to add some fun illustrations and things that I hope will speak to all of us this morning, young or old. And so not that anyone in here is old. But anyways, if you were here the last or 2 weeks ago, last week my sister was here and so she spoke. But 2 weeks ago we kicked off a new summer series titled The Parables of Jesus. And all throughout the Gospels, through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus uses parables to help explain his teachings, or at times to challenge those who were listening or who were asking questions. And again, parables are simply short stories or illustrations that Jesus used to help people that were listening to him better understand his point, better understand what he was talking about. And so a few weeks ago, we kicked things off with the parable of the Good Samaritan as we discovered who our neighbors are, right? Who it is that we're supposed to love. And if you were here, you may remember that we're called to love only those people in this building right now. No. We learned that we are called to love everyone, right? Everyone, which is something that we strive to do here as a church, right? It's why our sign outside says, all are welcome, all are loved. That is our goal, to love everybody that walks in this door. And so we talked about that last week. Now today, we're going to look at another parable that's found in the book of Matthew. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Now, some of you may be familiar with this parable. It's called the parable of the talents, at least in the old NIV version. Now, there's different names, and in some versions they talk about gold, some they talk about talents. I'm using the old school talents version here. And it really challenges us to think about what are we doing with the gifts and the talents and the things that God is depositing into our lives. He's depositing things. He's giving things to us. What are we doing with those things? And so we're going to look at that this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with us as we read. We have some special pictures to go up on screen that we don't normally do in a regular service, okay? And so you can kind of follow along with the pictures as I read, or follow along in the Bible as I read. But this is what it says, Matthew 25, verses 14 through 29. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Oh, wait. Yeah, that's right. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled his accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him. Give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And it says that he sent him out of the kingdom, the one that only had the one that hid his talent. There's the story. There's the parable. I can speak this morning. Parable of the talents. And as we look at this parable, I think it's important that we understand, again, God's desire to deposit his gifts into our lives. And those gifts can be all sorts of things, right? It can be money. It can be talents and gifts and things. It can be all sorts of things. But the big question is, what are we doing with the gifts that he's deposited in our life? What are we doing with the things that he's given us? As I mentioned earlier, this is a very well-known parable. And there are many different things that we could draw from this parable, that we can glean from this parable. But kind of in the context of this morning, I want to just share a few simple things that I believe God wants to speak to each of us in regard to the gifts and talents that he is depositing in our lives. The first thing I want to point out is this, is when God deposits things into our lives, I think the first thing we need to understand is we must do something with it, right? We can't just go bury it. We got to do something with it. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. You've heard me say that a lot here at church, that we're supposed to be good stewards of whatever God gives us, whether it's financial, whether it is actual money, whether it's gifts and things that he's poured into us. We're supposed to be good stewards of what God has given us. And when God deposits gifts and different things into our lives, we have to understand there is a reason that God puts these things into our lives, why he gives us these things. He wants us to do something with them, right? To glorify him. Now, a lot of times, we don't know what to do with the talents or gifts that he's given. Like the third servant, we're maybe afraid, well, what if I mess up? What if I don't use them properly? And so, because of those fears, we freeze and we don't do anything. But my encouragement to all of us this morning is this. Do something, right? Do something. God has given you gifts. He's pouring in your life. Do something. Jesus gave talents to three different people in this story. And the only one that he was upset with was the one who went and buried it, who buried what he was given, the one who didn't do anything with the gift that he was given. Now, we know that this servant that received just one talent, he was afraid, right? He was afraid of messing up. He was afraid of losing the one talent he had. He was afraid of what the master would say. And I think we can respond like this at times in our own lives, right? We can be afraid. I think a lot of times we get so focused on not doing the wrong thing, right? I don't want to do the wrong thing. I don't want to mess up. We get so focused on that we actually fail to do the right things. The things that God's calling us to do. James actually warns us about this in James 4:17 when he says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin. Think about that. That's a challenging verse, right? It's not just enough to not do the wrong things, right? Many of us are just trying to, I just don't want to mess up. I just don't want to do the wrong thing. But it's not just enough to not do the wrong things. We also have to make sure we're doing the right things. Our greatest tragedy in life is not the sins we commit. Our greatest tragedy in life is the life we fail to live. Pastor Mark Batterson, you've heard me talk about him a lot. He's kind of the pastor I listen to on my Sabbath. But he has this quote. He says this, at the end of your life, Your greatest regret won't be the things you did but wish you hadn't. Your greatest regret will be the things you didn't do but wish that you had. You see, God has called us to go. He's called us to live our lives to the fullest. And can you imagine how different our lives could be if every day we chose to engage the opportunities that God places in front of us? If we chose to use the gifts and talents He's deposited for His glory, if we did that every day with everything that He gave us, how different our life would be. He's depositing these things in our lives for a reason, so that we can go and make a difference, so that we can live our lives in a way that glorifies the Lord. Amen? Leads me to my second point. When God deposits things into our life, number two, He expects a return from all of us. In verse 27, He told the one who buried his talent, "You should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest." God wants to see the things He's deposited in us. He wants to see those things grow, right? And it doesn't matter if we're new in our faith or if we've been serving God our entire life. God expects us to do something with whatever it is that He's deposited in us. In this story, He gave one 5 talents, right? He gave one 2 talents. He gave one talent. He gave different amounts to different people. And we even see that, the talents and gifts. Many of us, some have this many, some have this many. He gave different amounts. And we don't understand why. The story doesn't tell us why He chose to give different amounts to the different servants. Now, we could make some guesses, right? It could have been based on how long the servants had worked for Him. It could have been based on their skill level or on their faithfulness. We don't know why they were given the different amounts that they were given. We don't know why one was given more than the other. The thing is, regardless of who was given what, the master expected the same thing from all of them. He expected them to do something with what He had given them so that they could see a return, so that He could see a return on the investment that He placed in their lives. And I think God expects the same thing from each of us. So this morning I'm going to do a little illustration. So all the young people out there, you need to pay close attention here, all right? I'm going to jump into my bag of tricks here. All right, now this is a tough one, okay, because I usually do this with a $1 bill, but that's really small. But I can't go too much bigger because sleight of hand is a difficult thing when you have small hands, okay? And so what I have here is my own Darren dollar. You may see, you might be able to tell that's an actual picture of me on there. That's an animated picture that actually Brittany Myers drew for me a long time ago. But it's normally I would have a $1 bill. And the other thing is, it's color-wise and from way back there, it's really hard. But there is a one up in the corners here, okay? And so the backside is green. But what I did on the front side is I made it blue, so you could see the color. So it's blue with a one. And this represents the talents that God... So God has given me one talent, right? And so we're going to take that one talent, we're going to fold it up, and the key is this. Now, nothing in this hand, right? Nothing in this hand, okay? Nothing up my watch, all right? So the key is this, all right? God gives me that talent, right? This is me, nothing here, watch. See, nothing. Ooh, did you guys see that? You guys didn't even see that. I'm so good. All right. He takes that and He deposits that into our life, okay? He deposits it into our life. And He takes those things, and His desire is that we would have a return, right? So that when we open this thing up, that we realize that blue one, can you see what that number is? It's not a one anymore. It's a five, that it turns into a yellow five, all right? I know back there it's hard to see, but that's, you know, it's sleight of hand. It's a tough thing, you know, when you're doing it for a bit. We're not like those cool shows that we have the close-up camera where you can see it big up there, you know, that zooms in. But so the key is that we're getting a return, that we grow from the one to the five. We don't want to go backwards, right? We don't want to be the five that is deposited and it's like, oh, I didn't do anything with it. Oh, and I thought I buried it, but someone must have dug it up, and now what do I have? What is it? Oh, it's back to the blue one. All right? We don't want that. We want to grow. We want to be someone that grows, that when God deposits it in our lives, all right, that we have a beautiful growth, right? That we're returning, all right? You guys like that? I haven't done sleight of hand in a while, so hopefully I fooled you. If you guys were up close, you might have realized, you know, what I did. If not, well, here's a couple for all the kids out there. I've got one, two, three, and here we go, Joey, way back there. Oh, I don't think I can get you. You can run up and get it. Here, Joey, you want to come grab it? There you go. You guys can have those. They're all different Darren dollars for you. All right. Look at that. Perfect. I had four and we had four kids here, so it worked out perfect. All right. We're going to close this down. We're going to move back to that conversation that we were having here just a minute ago. All right. Fun stuff. All right. I used to do this for my youth group. So if you guys catch things, it's been a long time since I did this and sleight of hand, all that stuff. It's not good sometimes if you don't practice it on a regular basis. So don't zoom in on the YouTube video, you know, of our service and be like, how did Darren do that? All right, you'll probably figure it out. But the key is he expects return. It doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter how long we've been serving the Lord. When God deposits things into our life, he expects us to do something with it. He expects some sort of return from us. Now, we don't necessarily have to double what he gave us like the two that we see here in the scriptures. The key is simply this, that we're using the gifts he's given us and that we're stewarding them well. Because here's what I believe. If we are faithful with what he gives us, right? Doesn't matter if it's big or small. If we're faithful with what he's given us, we will see a return on the investment. He will bless us in that process. And so we need to ask ourselves, what are we doing with the things that he's deposited in our lives? Because we are all responsible to be faithful and to respond to what God is doing in each of us. And he expects to see growth. He expects to see a return. Which leads me to my final point I want to share with all of us this morning, which is this. When God deposits things into our lives, if we're faithful with what he deposits, he'll deposit more. He'll give us more. In verse 21 and in verse 23, this is what he says to the man with 10 talents and the man with 5 talents and 2 talents. It says, his master replied, same thing he said to both of them. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Two of them were faithful with what they had been given, and because of their faithfulness, they were given more, right? When we're faithful with the things the Lord deposits in our lives, he's faithful to deposit more. And some of us are going, I've had enough, okay? I'm good. I don't know if I want any more. But it's a good thing. He wants to deposit more so that we can be more effective for him and for the kingdom. I've heard pastors use illustration of a sponge when they talk about our life as Christians. When they're talking about our responsibility as followers of Jesus. And it's this idea where, like a sponge, right, God desires to fill us up. And so what do you do with a sponge? You put it in the water and you squeeze it and you open it up and it fills up with water. And so God's desire is to fill us up. But here's the thing about a sponge, right? It can only take so much water. You can only fill it up so much, right? And so the only way you can put more into that sponge is if you wring the sponge out. And so we have to wring out our sponges. We have to wring out the things that God deposits in us. When he deposits these things, he fills us up, but he doesn't want us to just be this bloated sponge, right? He wants us to wring it out. He wants us to share those things that he's given us with others so that we can make a difference in his kingdom and so that he can give us more and fill us up with more. And so when we're faithful to wring out those sponges and use the gifts He's deposited in our life, He will give us more and put more into our lives. One last little trick for the kiddos here and for some of you adults that are like kiddos, like myself. This is what I call the domino trick. And simply because it's basically like a big giant domino. And this is a simple trick. It's what we call a, I don't want to use that word with kids in here, a gag trick, you know. We don't want to call anybody a D-U-M-M-Y, okay? So it's a gag trick, all right? And so it's this idea that I got a domino with one on one side and a domino with four on the other side, right? Oh, wait, shoot, I'm not fast enough to do that. Oh, shoot, darn it, man. Oh, man, okay. So then you grow and it's more and it's, oh, two. And then you grow and it's more, it's five. It's a gag trick, right? Because what you're supposed to do, and if you've been working on it, you know, your hands cover it up. So it's like, oh, look, it's one. And look, it's four. And look, oh, wait, it just grew to two. And oh, look, it just grew to five, you know. And so the idea is it's real simple. You just cover it up and you cover it up. And it's supposed to be kind of this dummy trick where so that when you look, at, you know, from one side or to the other, it's real simple that you can kind of hide. And so you, but the key, and you get it, is that you're growing, right? That you go from one to two to three. And so, wait, how did that work? I'm so confused. Wait, so four to five. Oh, to six. Oh my goodness. Wait. Okay, who's the dummy now? I don't know. I don't even know how this works, all right? But the key, I hope that you know, the key is this. The key is that we're growing, right? That we're always going from one to two, from two to three, from six to eight? I don't know, all right? The key is that we're always growing, that if we're faithful with what God gives us, He'll actually give us more, all right? Yay, all right, there we go, tricks for today. You guys like that? My youth used to love those things. And then I got to lock this because then they would always come up afterwards trying to figure out how I did everything. Put my key on so you guys don't come up and see my tricks. No, just kidding. Literally, they would bombard me. How did you do that? Let me see it. Let me see it. Let me see what you did. All right. And so it's like, no, a good magician or illusionist never shows their tricks. But here's the thing. This is the point of the domino illustration. You see, when we're faithful with what He's deposited in our life, He's faithful to deposit more. God wants to pour into all of our lives, right? He wants to pour into our lives. And so that question is, that big question is, what are we doing with the things that He's deposited? Are we going and burying it like the one? Or are we doing our best to grow and invest it and allow God to move in and through our lives, to allow God to help us to grow? Why? So that then He can deposit more and that He can continue to use us to extend His kingdom. That's what it's about. God loves us, and it's that idea you've heard me talk about before. A lot of times when we talk about communion, we weren't just saved from sin and death. We were saved for as well. We were saved from so that we could go and be lights that shine bright for Him and for His kingdom. And so we want to be people who glorify Him, who take the things that He's deposited in our lives and then we do something with it. We do our best. Let me just give you an example. The quilting group. I brag about them all the time. I was approached 10 years ago now, I think it was, 11 almost. Hey, we've got this quilting group. It's kind of struggling over here. We're just wondering if a place that we could quilt and work to give these quilts away. And I said, yeah, let's do it. We even invested $100 a month so that they could buy stuff. And this group gathers, and they take that $100 a month, $1,200 a year, and multiply it. Last year they gave almost $12,000 in quilts away, or what they took that was auctioned off and gave away to help people. They multiplied it. And it's this simple thing of, I can come and tie quilts. I can do this. I can do that. And that group is so awesome. All you ladies out here that are part of that group, I love the conversations, the relationship that comes out of that group. But it's just, it's being faithful. Hey, I can do this. And there are many things in our community that we can say, hey, I could do that. And the difference that it can make in our world. And so it's being faithful. What has God given you? What are the gifts that he's given you? What are the things he's deposited in your life? He doesn't give you those things so that you can just be on your own and bury them and not do anything with them. He gives you those things so that you can glorify him, that you can make a difference in the kingdom of God. That's our desire, is to make a difference in the kingdom of God. Our mission statement, loving God and loving people to extend his kingdom. And we do that best when we're using the talents that he's given us. Amen? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, for the stories that you share, the parables throughout the Gospels that speak truth and life to us, Lord. You came to this earth, Lord, because you wanted to give us life. And it wasn't just about saving us from sin and death. It was about the life that we could live for you here on this earth, Lord. Yes, we look forward to eternity with you, with no more sins, no more struggles, no more pain, no more sorrow. We look forward to that. But until that time, you have deposited things in our lives so that we can make a difference in this world for you. And so, Lord, we want to learn how to be people who use the talents that you've given us to glorify you, to get a return, Lord, so that you can give us more. And so we just want to learn from these things, Lord. And so we thank you for your scripture. We thank you for the things that we can learn and glean and receive from them, Lord. And so we give you this morning, thank you for this time that we just get to gather together as a family. And that, Lord, you can speak to our hearts, Lord, whether that's through scripture, whether that's through illustrations of sleight of hand and illusions, Lord, that through all these things, you can minister to us and speak to us. And so may we have ears to hear what you want to speak to us this morning. Where are the areas that maybe we haven't been doing stuff with what you've deposited? Where are the areas that we've been doing well? Lord, what is it that we need to learn from this message today? We just pray that you speak to each of us right where we're at, Lord. And so we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time to gather and to seek you. We pray that we receive what you speak to us and that, Lord, tomorrow we're different because of it, that tomorrow we seek to do things differently because of what you have deposited in us today. And so we give this word to you. We give this time to you. We thank you. We praise you. We give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.